the red, red robin comes bopping along, along. There'll be no more sobbing when he starts throbbing that old sweet song. Wake up, you sleepyhead. Get up, get up, get out of bed. Cheer up, the sun is red. Live, love, laugh and be happy.
Independent, totally biased, Hull Kingston Rovers. You are listening to the Red Robin podcast with Joe Appleyard and Chris Johnson. Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the Red Robin podcast. In this week's episode, we are joined by Hull Kingston Rovers Hull Live reporter James O'Brien as we look ahead to tomorrow's season opener against the Catalan Dragons. We'll also be taking a look back at what's happened during the past week, as well as reviewing the Red Robin Podcast Fantasy League and our brand new tipping competition. Joe, it's great to be speaking to you again, mate.
Yeah, it's great to be back, mate. Getting excited now, so it's good to be doing this podcast on the eve of round one.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? And let's have a look back at our last podcast, what we did with Aj Cutler. I mean, I think we put it out on social media that our intention was to actually get Aj on for this podcast and do maybe 20 minutes with him talking about the RSG and his love for Rovers. And actually, when we started speaking to him, you know, what a great character we just thought. He deserves his own podcast. And the listening figures have been fantastic. I think we're close to getting 500 listens to that podcast not even a week yet. So it was great to hear him, wasn't it, Joe?
Yeah, it was. It's 600, mate. It's ridiculous. Wow. You know, and I think what we noticed on a Tuesday morning, when I was run home and then run back in, when I checked, because I listened to it on Tuesday morning, we had like 400. And then by the time I'd got to work, we had like 50 listeners at 7 a.m. on Tuesday morning. I was like, I mean, I know there'll be people going to work at that time and listening, but it was brilliant. What a bloke. Yeah. Realistically, if you look at the figures from the others, he's on course. You know, I mean, it might change in the future, but he's on course to be our most watched episode so far. I don't even think Morgan and Newton had them numbers, and it just shows how much he means to the East Hull and Rovers and the amount of players he's brought over, the money and time he's invested into the club. And he loves the club, doesn't he, when you're speaking. After 5 minutes, we message each other on WhatsApp when we're doing these podcasts, so we don't bump into each other and it sounds a little bit better. And after 5 minutes, we both literally put in, let's do a full hour with this guy. And what an episode. Such a great bloke. Bleeds Rovers, doesn't he? Bleeds red and white. And some interesting stories, because a lot of fans see him out and about. He's always helpful. He's always got his game day face on. But when you take a step back and you get to know the real Aj, he's very, you know, he was articulate in what he was saying. And it was a different side that I've seen of Ian and Aj Cutler. A lot of people didn't know he was called Ian, which is funny as well. But so great to speak to him, mate. Another top episode. And I'm just put me in the mood for tomorrow's game, mate, even talking about it now.
Yeah, and I think I was a bit shocked when he told us he was from Scotland as well. I think that was another curveball. I said in the podcast, he's part of the fabric of the club. He's not only a supporter or a fan of the club, he's put his hand in his pocket, he's arranged things. He's actually played a really proactive part in, especially around, 96, 97, when the club went into administration. You know, he did so much to get the club back on its feet. He supported them with obviously setting up the RSG and putting money into to help him buy players and all stuff like that. Obviously, you had the Junior Robins. So it was just great to speak to him about, obviously, him reminiscing about players in the past, his memories of going to Wembley. His admiration for Hull Kingston Rovers, but also his talk of how he loves Hull Kingston Rovers supporters almost as much as he does the club.
Oh, he does, and his life revolves around it. And I know
that story he said about. When he said about he put Rovers first, work second, and his family third.
Yeah, I don't think his wife will be happy if she listened to that, and his daughter and son. But yeah, I mean, for me, with Neil Hudgell, the modern day Hull Kingston Rovers, he's probably up there with the most influential bloke, you know, for the amount of stuff he's done behind the scenes, getting fans to games. I mean, even when I was, in 2014 when I started going on the away coaches with my mates. I had kids who had never even, my mates had never even gone to Rovers, and within 2 minutes, you know, they loved him, and he just looks after everybody. The amount of money he's done, raised fundraising, his days at Apollo. Obviously, he told us the funny story about the Willie Mason one when he was going to turn up, and then he'd cleared off to Toulon by that time. So just a lovely bloke, and he definitely deserves, you know, his time in the spotlight. And it was great for us, you know, we're absolutely nobodies, are we? But for us to give him that chance to come on, and a lot of people have thanked us for having him on. And that's great for us to see, isn't it? Because we had a lot of ex-players like in the post with him on, because he'll have been so close to them players. And yeah, it's time that he got a bit of recognition, because he always gets the odd tweet about him or the odd thing. But for people who don't know Ange, he is literally a living legend in OKR. He has done so much. And in them early days of administration and growing up, and when I started supporting Rovers, he is the fabric of the club and a massive part of Rovers growing up at my era. So it was great to have him on, Chris, wasn't it? And to talk about, you know, the old days and the dark times, because as much as he's been to Wembley and when he went to the Isle of Man, he's been there when we've been absolutely diabolical. And we go on about, you know, we're bad now and stuff, but we was in League One, you know, we was terrible them late 90s. And the club didn't know if it was going to survive. And it was people like him, his mate Keith Lyons, and everyone who stuck by the club, that Rovers is still going on today.
Yeah, and Adjo will be the first one to admit it's not just him. You know, he's part of a group, but obviously Adger's played such an instrumental role in setting a lot of stuff up. So I think that's why he deserves that special attention. And just to put maybe disappoint some supporters, because we've had some requests to get other supporters on the podcast, including Rocket Ronnie and Tits Out Tez. There's no plans at the moment to get them blokes on, because I think we're worried they might not be able to string a sentence together.
No, definitely. I mean, I don't really know Tetley personally, but I know Rocket, obviously really good mates with his sons, Andy and Shane and Tosh. He's a great lad, Rocket, but I don't think he's the right guy to have on the show. If we start getting beat every week and the numbers drop, mate, I think we can clutch at straws and get him on and maybe do him a live show where he just dances like Bez out the Happy Mondays while me and you do a live podcast. But yeah, no other fans on the show anytime soon, mate. But it was great to speak to Adge Cutler.
Yeah, it was. And obviously that was it. That was in the past. If we look to the future now, we've got a couple of new things to bring to the podcast, haven't we?
We have indeed, mate. And obviously, we've been very vocal on social media. We've started a fantasy league. So basically, guys, that is the Super League Fantasy League. We've had 160 people join already. There's prizes, whoever finishes first, second, and maybe third. They're yet to be announced. Basically, you have got whenever you're listening to this show, it might be Friday night and you've missed it, but you can join whenever. The name of the league is the Red Robin Podcast. The pin is 12161. That is 12161. And the password is Red Robin. Both R's have a capital R. Any more information, or if you need any help, feel free to message me, Chris, or the Red Robin Podcast. We'll help you get on there and set up the links for you, because it's really good. We've had a really good response with that, mate. And we're actually going to go through our teams really quickly. I'm just loading on now, so give me a minute. My team, the Eastall Reds, it hasn't started well because I have Conrad O'Rell, and I know he's not in the team for the Rhinos on tomorrow. So I have gone with Nala Valves, Jermaine McGilvery, Conrad Harrell, Toby King and Kristen Inu. Blake Austin and Josh Drinkwater are in my halves. George Lawler, Jez Litton and Mikolaj Alesky are in the front row for me. My captain is John Bateman. Wakefield's Kalepi Taganoa, and that man who we had on the other week, the testimonial man for Castleford, Adam Milner, makes my 13. On the bench, I've gone with Joe Kirby, Brad Martin, Kyle Shelford. I've spent big and I haven't got many. I've got a few kids on the bench, but I have got Joe Cater because I do know he'll probably be playing every week for the Black and Whites and I can transfer him in. What about you, Chris? What's your fantasy team?
Well, first of all, mate, I'm disgusted that you've got a Black and White in your team.
An old teammate, mate, who I believe still should be in Red and White.
I deliberately didn't pick any Black and Whites in my team, so I excluded them totally from being able to play. But my team is the Hull Kingston Ravers. Fullback, I've gone for Sam Tonkins. Winger, Ryan Hall. Centre, Ricky Lua I can never pronounce this.
You're supposed to be the manager and you can't even pronounce your teammates.
I'll just call him Rick. It'll be Big Rick to me.
Ricky Lutelli.
That's the one. Then I've gone for Regan Grace as the other winger, Zach Hardick as the centre, standoff Jake Truman, scrum half Luke Gale, prop I've gone for Rovers old boy Robbie Mullane, hooker Daryl Clark, my second prop is Eddie Batty, second row Ben Curry from Warrington, the other second rower is Cade Lynette, and then I've gone for another Rovers old boy at loose forward in Danny Addy. I've got another, I didn't realise they had so many former Robins in the team. On the bench, I've gone for James Donaldson, Aidan Caesar, Lewis Bienek, and Adam Quinlan.
Oh, you've got quite a decent bench, mate. I mean, the only problem is your bench don't get points. It's, you know, it's only your starting 13, so I'll give you guys a heads up, even though I'm in that league as well. But I think the thing is with fantasy leagues, mate, unless there's something to play for, it kind of dies out, doesn't it? I know the Sky Bet one I do with my mates, the football one for the Prem. There is money involved in that, and I've got one going with my workmates, which is good. But it's nice to do these fantasy leagues. It's that pre-season ritual, isn't it? You get excited, you think who's going to be amazing, who's going to get you the points. Come round three when every player's injured and you've got 26 points, bottom of the league, you kind of switch off the app, don't you? But we do want the guys to stay involved. 160 people, Chris, it's massive, isn't it? It's a really good effort from the fans.
Yeah, well, I thought we might get 20 people and we'd have been happy with that, wouldn't we? So it's great that so many people have got on board. And tell us about what we can win, Joe, if you finish first and second.
Yeah, so I think what we're going to do is we've got a few signed shirts. I've got a signed shirt from 2009 that was kindly donated to us by a fan. I'm going to get a 2021 shirt and message maybe Jez or George or something, try and get a shirt signed from this year. Obviously, get it to you the back end of the season. And then obviously, you have seen on social media, guys, Iconic Sports Prints, get following them on everything. We've teamed up with them. Some amazing prints, mate. I love stuff like that. It's on Etsy. The link's on our social media. There's the Dave Hodgson try at Magic Weekend, Ryan Shaw. Really good animations, aren't they? And when the kid came to us, messaged us, Chris, it was a good opportunity for us to team up with someone. It's the first time we've done a bit of a collaboration. So there's still that competition running, guys, on Instagram and Twitter. Retweet or post to your story on Instagram. Make sure you're following both us and the Iconic Sports Prints, because that is probably the second and third place prize. And the first will be a signed shirt and maybe some memorabilia from the podcast. So really good, mate. It's good to offer that out, in it, because we're getting so many listeners. We're interacting with the fans. And it's starting to become a big part of the fan base now, which is what we wanted. With 8 weeks ago, when I was sat in the same room now when we was doing, was a bit nervous when we were doing our first show, predicting what the season was going to look like. We didn't know what was happening with COVID. We was in a deep lockdown. And I know it's still the same. We're nearly at the start of stage one. Things are a little bit brighter now, mate, aren't they? And it's great to be putting all this on. The podcast growing. Rovers are starting. Super League starting. And people have got that spring in the step, so it's great, isn't it? Everyone's a bit more positive than when we started the podcast, so it's grown, hasn't it? And we really appreciate everything that the listeners and fans have done, because without them, Chris, it wouldn't be worth doing.
No, and I'm just, you're talking about all the positivity, and I'm just thinking of that drain of enthusiasm on Sunday or Saturday night when everyone goes, is five cans in because we've been hammered by cattle.
Oh, mate, give it 10 minutes after the game, I'll be blocked by about six players. My head will go, I'll storm upstairs and I'll be watching Dillian White and Povetkin with a sulk eating a takeaway.
Yeah, well, yeah, we all know you like a takeaway, Joe, so I'm sure it won't be the first.
No, you dare.
No, but I think you're right, Joe. I think we've seen the club have made some really big announcements, haven't they, in terms of how they're going to accommodate supporters when we are allowed to get back into the stadium. The plans for the stadium once that temporary seating comes down. We've made some big signings, and we're all excited about seeing them in competitive rugby league. You know, we all think we've got the best head coach that we could possibly have right now. You know, Paul Lakin's come back to the club. So he is a real push for, you know, a real edge of positivity. And I just hope, I'm praying that the team can finally start delivering on our expectations, because I don't think we're being out of order in wanting our team to be better than where we are. You know, we've been languishing near the bottom for far too long. And Saturdays, it feels like a bit of a big occasion, doesn't it? Because we're starting to think, is this Rovers team, are they going to turn up and are they going to be the real deal this season?
Yeah, it's a new era for plenty of clubs. You look at Salford with Richard Marshall, Ian Watson going to Huddersfield FC with Hodgson and the Reynolds. And all Kingston Rovers are definitely up there, you know, a bit of a new look with a kit, a new look with a CEO, a new coaching staff with Smith, Maguire, Dave Hodgson and Stanley Jean. So there is optimism and we want to be up there. Well, like I said, we haven't played a playoff game since 2013. We deserve to be up there. There's no reason why Cass have done it, Salford have done it, Huddersfield have done it, or in similar positions. And we're in a really strong position now on and off the field. And we just need to deliver. I liked that animation you made of our famous quotes and mine's definitely them building blocks.
That's the first time you've mentioned it.
I know, mate. Ever since you put it on, I've been trying not to mention it, but it's like I've got Tourette's. It's definitely doing that this season, and we just need to make a good account of ourselves because a lot of people are tipping us to be at the bottom with Lee and Wakefield and possibly going down, and a lot of clubs, especially the black and whites, want us to fail, and we've got to prove people wrong and we need to earn that respect, don't we? Because, you know, we've lacked it and there's a reason why we get the mick took out of us because we've been rubbish for a lot of seasons now. So hopefully it changes. Probably won't, and we'll be complaining again, but we live and hope, and it's just great to have this Super League season back. And what me and you are going to do, mate, for our sins, is do a tipping competition, put our money where our mouth is. So basically, guys, for you listening, by the time you're reading this now, the animations and the photos have all gone out on social media, me and Chris are going to predict all six games every week. We get 2 points for a win, none for a loss, obviously, and then the loser gets a forfeit chosen by the winner, mate, and I am 40 or forfeit yet. I mean, I don't know what we're going to sign up for. Let's see. I mean, it might be something daft, but it might be something serious. It depends on how our relationship changes throughout this season. But it's something good. It keeps us on our toes, and it's another talking point, mate. So before we go into the tipping league, are you a little bit nervous if you lose and you have to do that forfeit? Because I think I can think of a few things I can do to you.
That sounds a bit ominous, that, doesn't it?
It really does.
No, mate, to be honest, I'm not worried whatsoever. I've heard some of your tips before, so I'm not worried one bit.
Let's get it started then. Right, first game tonight, obviously the podcast going out Friday, the 26th of March. It's the champions, St Helens against Salford Red Devils. For me, Chris, I'm going to go St Helens. I think, you know, they nailed on. They did lose against Lee in the pre-season match, but they've got a really good team. James Robey, Alex Walmsley. I think Ian Watson leaving Salford's definitely put them a little bit down lower on the pecking order now in Super League. Richard Marshall's first head coach gig since leaving Halifax. I know he's been an assistant at Saints. But for me, I think the champions will be too strong.
Yeah, I think St Helens, you know, they were strong last season and they've only got stronger this season, haven't they? They made a number of good signings again. I think probably in this tipping competition, I'm going to be tipping them every week to win, other than, of course, when they play at Kingston Rovers.
Nice, think one, Salford, 2 points to me when I tip Saints.
I think Salford are significantly weaker, and I can only see St Helens winning this, especially with it being the first game of the season. So I'm going for St Helens win.
Perfect. So Saints. And then at 8:15, it's the newly promoted Lee Centurions, or Old Kingston Rovers B team, as we like to call them, against the Wigan Warriors, last year's runners-up. Will be very sour after that last-minute Jack Welsby try. For me, I think Saints win the first game and their rivals Wigan win the second. I think Lee are going to struggle. They've recruited probably bang average players. I think whoever came up, if it was York to lose, to the sand people like Petteru, Briley, Jamie Ellis, Adam Sidlow. I think they'll shock a few people. I don't think they're going to be as bad as people think. I hope they are, for all Kingston Rovers' sake. But round one, my good mate Jamie Ellis isn't playing. He picked up a knock against Warrington. I don't think they're going to have a lead around the park. I think Wigan, even though they won't have Jackson Hastings and Bevan French, which we'll speak to James about, I think the Warriors, mate. What about you?
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting, isn't it, to see what type of rugby league try and play. Obviously, they haven't had as long to prepare for this season in terms of recruitment, etc., as all the other Super League teams. I think Wigan Warriors, they're missing Bevan French. They're getting the run around by Jackson Hastings, but they're a formidable outfit. I can't see anything other than a Wigan Warriors win, although I will say that this is probably the best time for Lee to be playing them, the start of the season. All teams getting used to the new rule changes. That said, I still can't see anything other than a Wigan Warriors win.
Oh, people were joining at the minute, mate. Right, let's move to Saturday. The curtain raiser before the main event is a Yorkshire derby. It's Wakefield against Leeds. This is a tough one, and I'm going to throw a curveball. I'm going to go for the people who are odds on. I think Wakefield, you know, they're definitely a relegation candidate. I just think round one, Leeds announced their squad. I mean, they've got Carl Eastman in there. Luke Gale's back. I don't know how fit he is. Maybe that's because they're missing the likes of... I don't think Ash Adley's in the side. Jack Walker's not in the side. Conrad Haralu's in my fantasy league. They're missing a lot of players, Leeds, and it's going to be a tough one. I think Wakefield are going to start strong. Kelepi Taganoa for Fita. You're going to get the best out of them early doors. Even though it's at Headingley, I'm going to say the home team for that game, which baffles me, same as us next week against Saints, is going to win. I'm going to go a Trinity victory.
Yeah, I think completely the opposite, Joe.
Oh, that's good. That's finally.
Yeah, I think by many, Wakefield have been tipped to be near the bottom, aren't they? I don't think they've really strengthened that much. I think there was already on borrowed time maybe last season with the squad what they had. You know, they've recruited Andy Last onto the coaching team. Obviously, he joins Willie Poaching and Chris Chester. I think Leeds Rhino showed last season that they're able to run up some big scores. And I think Leeds are going to hand out a hammering to Wakefield. So I'm going Leeds Rhino for the win.
It's a big call. And then we mentioned the curtain raiser for the main event. Catalan Dragons against Hulkingston Rovers, 5:15 on Sky Sports main event, an arena like all games are over the weekend. For me, mate, it's such a tough one. You're going with your head or your heart. But for me, Hulkingston Rovers, we normally do okay in round one. I know where we might be missing a few with Takarangi. We'll mention that later in the show. But Catalans are missing a few. We've named their squad. We'll speak about that after the break as well. Can't go anything else than a Hulkingston Rovers victory to get us optimistic before losing 7 on the bounce.
Yeah, true. And I think what we saw in the Castleford friendly is that chances are it's going to be a high-scoring game, isn't it? Any game involving Hulkingston Rovers, especially early on in the season, is going to see lots of points. I do think that Rovers will win, or I hope they win, but I still think that Catalan will still end up getting at least 18 to 20 points on the scoreboard. So it will be a case of us outscoring Catalan rather than out-defending them.
Yeah, let's hope so, mate. So Rovers, yeah?
Yeah, Rovers for the win.
So we move on to Sunday, the final two games. 12:30 kickoff, an early kickoff, the earliest of the weekend. Our friends from the west side of the city, Hull FC, Brett Hodgson's Hull FC, takes on Ian Watson's Huddersfield Giants. These two games, mate, the Castle Warrington one as well after. I'm trying to call it now. Oh, God, who do I go for? I mean, it could go either way. Hull only Sam Reynolds. They're a bit more settled than Huddersfield, but Ian Watson's worked his magic. He's got some really good players. I'm going to go with what I want. I think I'm going to say Huddersfield. It's going to be very close. Hull have got some really good players. It's going to be two close teams. I think they're both going to be up there this season, which pains me, but I'm going to speak the truth. But for me, I think Huddersfield Giants pick up the 2 points just.
Yeah, to be honest with you, I don't think it'll be that close. I think Hull FC are pretty much a bag of shit. I think the supporters blow smoke up the players' arses too much. I think this Josh Reynolds at the sand, I think he's injury prone and he's don't perform. So I can't see anything other than a Huddersfield Giants victory.
Oh, good. We've started being petty now because we've got the backing, we've got the followers. So let's start being.
Well, to be honest, Joe. It's only Rovers fans listening to this. And if there is any fans listening to it, more full them.
It's going to, when the derby comes, as we're definitely, it'd be good to maybe do a talk show, mate, or get someone on with some old fans, get the banner for
that. Yeah, but most of them can't talk, mate. So never mind getting Wi-Fi and shit like that.
I was going to say, they don't have dial-up internet, do they? They're still trying to... It'll be like Scott Morell's the other week.
I'll have to make a cup with some rope and maybe throw it over the river so that someone can try and speak to us.
I love it. I'm definitely use that clip for our social media. So I think Huddersfield, so do you. Final game of the weekend, mate. Castleford Tigers, we know well from that friendly against Greg Inglis. Sorry, Steve Price's Warrington Wolves. We know Greg Inglis isn't playing this weekend. But for me, this is such a tough one. Warrington looks really sharp, even without GI in that friendly last weekend when I was dying from my COVID jab. I watched the friendly against Lee. I'm going to say Warrington, mate. Obviously, it's a big one because Powell and Steve Price are leaving at the end of the season. So it's the battle of the managers that are going. But for me, the Lancashire team just tips it. I think Austin and Widdop are going to be key. Larnham as well. So I'm just going to go Warrington victory.
Yeah, I think this is the hardest one to predict. I think, you know, Castleford have got a number of injuries, haven't they, and some long-term injuries, which has obviously unsettled them. They've still made some big signings. You know, they've got threats in Evels and O'Brien, Truman, etc. Warrington Wolves, though, obviously some very good players in that squad. I think this will be the closest game, and I think this could come down to 2 points or maybe even a drop goal, but I'm going for a Warrington Wolves victory.
Perfect. So I have gone Saints, Wigan, Wakefield, Rovers, Huddersfield and Warrington. And you have gone for Saints, Wigan, Leeds, Rovers, Huddersfield and Warrington. Is that correct?
Correct.
Perfect. So we'll put the tables out. We'll get all that sorted. But I'm going to enjoy this, mate, because, you know, I think we think we know a bit about rugby, don't we? Probably me a bit more than you. I'm a bit more big-headed out of sometimes. And I put my money where my mouth is and get shot.
Obviously, Joe, you used to play for Rovers as well, didn't you?
Did I? Yeah, that's so common knowledge for me, that. I wouldn't know. So I think after my job, I forgot all that. So thanks for reminding me. Thanks for telling everyone. I mean, if we've got time, mate, you know, last 5-10 minutes before we get James on, just a quick chat going away from all Kingston Rovers. Obviously, it was announced that the Combined Nations All-Stars are going to be coached by ex-All Kingston Rovers coach Tim Sheens. Such a weird one, mate. Such a talking point. The situation as we know it is it was an international weekend. People won't get capped for playing for both teams. Super League have now put around the fixtures in. Sean Wayne gets first pick. If he picks more than 5 or 6 players Tim, from one club, which he will do with Wigan and Saints, Tim Sheens doesn't get any of them. People from Ireland, Scotland, Wales and France are now involved with the nations. It's not just the Southern Hemisphere. And going off that, mate, this could affect all Kingston Rovers because I was listening to another podcast, a few Saints fans, and they were saying, you know, probably I do agree with them. If this happens and the NRL lads like, Josh Hodgson, Elliot Whitehead, Bear, just Herbie Farmworth, if they're not going to come over, you're going to get a lot of Wigan and Saints players. So people like Lachlan Coote and Bevan French, if he ever comes over, they're not going to play for the Exiles or Combined Nations. And I guarantee the likes of Kenny Dowell, Parcell, Vette, Takarangi, Kane, Lynette, because he's Scottish, obviously, they're going to get picked. So it could be a massive disadvantage for teams like us and Wakefield, who might have Fafita and Kalepi Taganoa in there as well. What's your thoughts on the full situation? I know through a lot of topics there, but it's a bit of a farce, isn't it? We love International Rugby League. We know Rob Crossland's not a fan when we got him on the other week. But for me and you, we're a bit on edge, aren't we? Because like most fans, we haven't got a clue what's going on. And I don't think Sean Wayne and the RFL do.
No, and I think it's a nonsense. I think we should be looking at how we can grow International Rugby League. For me, England should be looking to play Wales or France. I think then you should have Scotland playing, you know, either Wales or France or Ireland. You've got Jamaica, who are obviously predominantly English-based, but they could be thrown into the mix. I think we should be looking to make it a real weekend of International Rugby League. Obviously, the international calendar was announced before Super League decided to play fixtures on this weekend. So Super League, you know, could have decided not to play, but they chose to went ahead. I'm an England Rugby League supporter. I want us to do the best we can. I want us to be well prepared. I think the NRL players won't come. I can't see them coming over for one game whatsoever. So straight away, you've got an England team playing, which is missing, you know, a good proportion of its starting 13. And I think, when you look at it from a Rovers point of view, I don't want any Rovers players playing for that Combined Nations All-Stars. I don't want them anywhere near that team, because if they get injured and they can't play for Rovers, well, we're the ones who are ultimately going to suffer. So I just think it's a nonsense. And, Adam Pearson's, he's been quite vocal, hasn't he, about how he don't want to release any players for the fixture. And I think Rovers should be taking that stance as well.
Yeah, I hope so, mate. I mean, it's one of them things. I don't know if they will. And what we were talking about off air is, all obviously Ireland, Wales, Scotland. So you might have Lynette, Lachlan, Koo, Regan, Grace. But again, it all depends on how many people Sean Wayne picked, because you look at Saints, Morgan Knowles, who played for Wales when he was a young kid. Now he's got a decent rep. He's chose to play for England. There's Joe Philbin, who was an Ireland international. Ben Curry's played for Ireland, hasn't he, as well? So the international game's not the best, mate. But there's that big question as well. The most English people in the world, Jackson Hastings, who I'm reading literally this second. Obviously, we're filming it on Thursday. That West Tigers have put a bid in, so we'll see where that story goes. Him and Blake Austin, who's played for Portugal, he's played for Australia, youth. He also played for England in the Nines. Are they going to get picked? What's the situation on them? There's so many talking points on this, and we don't want to. We want international rugby to be an enjoyment, but there's this divide, isn't there, already, because clubs don't want the players playing, and it shouldn't be like that. It's, we want it to be a joint thing where everyone gets behind England, and me and you are big fans of the international game. But for some people, you can tell why they detest it and they don't want England out that fussed about it, because club rugby is massive as well, and it does impact that, especially with the news that Super League have put around the fixtures in when it's the international week.
Yeah, I think it's a, Joe, I think it's a classic example of rugby league putting square pegs in round holes, and it's going to be a saga that continues to run and run until the game is played, isn't it? And I'm sure we'll be talking about it on future podcasts. But let's get into it now, Joe. We've got Catalan up tomorrow. We've got James O'Brien from Hull Live ready to speak to us about that game. So stick with us as we bring you James O'Brien, Hull Kingston Rovers reporter from Hull Live.
Welcome back to the second part of this Red Robin podcast with me, Joe Appleyard, Chris Johnson, and joining us again is Hull Daily Mail reporter for Hull Kingston Rovers, James O'Brien. Guys, we're only a day from the Super League season. Rovers' Super League season starting. How good is it to have rugby league back and to be watching Hull Kingston Rovers week in, week out? It's great to speak to you again, guys. Thanks for coming on, James.
No worries. Good to be back.
You know, we're just buzzing out with Chris. Obviously, we've been doing these podcasts leading up to it, having old guests on, but it's so good for us to talk about the here and now in Hull Kingston Rovers 2021. We had a taster in the Castleford friendly, but now we get to do the stuff for real. Chris, are you excited?
Yeah, well, you just mentioned the Castleford friendly, and I don't know if that dampened my enthusiasm or however it raised it, because we saw some of the old, you know, problems that we faced last season, but we saw some, you know, green shoots of positivity as well. So I'm more nervous than excited, I think.
Yeah, there's always that, you know, first round nerves, isn't there? We normally do well, and we'll speak about previous round fixtures. But I do think before we go into the Catalans game, the round one, the bit of sad news coming out of rugby league in the past few days, Rovers related. Obviously, former Robin Joe Wardle, only 23, an ex-teammate of mine, you know, a decent mate as well. I haven't spoke to him in a while, but he's tried to make it back after retiring from Hull Kingston Rovers, went to Championship outfit with Dewsbury Rams. He's only been training 2 months, and unfortunately he's had to retire. And I know you've followed his story, James. It's a sad one, isn't it? It's such a young lad who had so much potential, having to retire twice by the age of 23.
Yeah, it's a really sad story. I saw it this morning, picked up on it. I spoke to him a couple of years ago. He said he probably could play, but not to a good level anymore. It was just the day-to-day training that he'd struggle with. But obviously it got to a point last year where he felt he could do that. He obviously played a bit of reserves, didn't he, for the Rovers start of last year. And he did all right by all accounts. He were aching a bit after the games, but he felt good enough, obviously, to go to Dewsbury at the end of last year. And he'd been training fine, according to Lee Greenwood, and then obviously just caught up with him a bit. And it is a really sad story, because obviously he loves rugby league. He wants to play rugby league, and it just didn't happen for him because of...
No, I haven't been the best. I think, Chris, you know, we've read up and he's at uni now in Leeds. He's living in Leeds. And for the sake, you've got to look for your future. And if that kid can't get out of bed for 2 or 3 days after a game, it's not really worth it, is it? Especially as a young lad. But it's such a sad story, isn't it, Chris?
Yeah, and obviously, he, like you said, he's looking to the future, isn't he? Because as much as he's loves playing rugby league, unfortunately the level he's probably dropped to means that he's not going to be able to make a career out of it out the long term. So, you know, he's got one eye on the future, and what's the point putting your body through, you know, all that pain, if you don't need to ultimately, but it's sad. You never want to see a young bloke giving up something that they obviously love. Obviously, there was, you know, a bit of potential there when he was at Rovers. He helped out behind the scenes, didn't he, with the women's team and around the academy. And then obviously went to Dewsbury. So sad, it's sad news, and hopefully he'll still be involved in rugby league at some level.
Yeah, I should think so. I mean, he's at Leeds Beckett, so he might play there in a few years once he recovers. But yeah, it's such a shame. Made his debut at Wigan in 2016, played 17 times for the Robins, scoring 5 tries. So best of luck to Joe Wardle. But we move on to the here and now. And all Kingston Rovers are back in action on Saturday against the Catalan Dragons. And I'll read the teams out first, guys. The Catalan Dragons are going to line up the 21-man squad. They've got Arthur Morog, Tom Davis, new signing Dean Ware, NRL centre, really good player. Fawad Yaha, James Maloney, former Robin Josh Drinkwater, Gil Dudson, Julian Busquet, Matt Whitley, Mike McMeekin, Ben Garcia, Alrig De Costa, Benjamin Julian, Paul Segura, Mikel Goudemond, Lambert Belmas, Mafea Lagua, Jason Battieri, Joe Chan, Sam Cassiano and Starman Sam Tompkins. James, first, you've obviously seen Catalan's play over the past few years against all Kingston Rovers. We know what we're going to get. They're a big side. But reading them teams, you're missing Samasoni Langi, Joel Tompkins, Mickey Mack. There's a lot of inexperience there in the Dragons. But where do you think they're going to play this weekend? Steve Mack, he likes to go big. He likes to play off the kicking game. It's going to be a tough opening encounter for the Robins.
Yeah, it is definitely. Firstly, well done with those names. Have you been It was a good effort, that. I was looking down the squad list earlier, and you get through the first 12, 13, you're like, yeah, decent side. And then you go through the rest and you're thinking, well, you know, they ain't got that much depth. And then you get to end, don't you, with Cassiano and Sam Tompkins, and you're like, all right, yeah, this is going to be a tough game. But yeah, they are a big side, aren't they? And they do like to play a bit as well with the halves. And obviously Sam Tompkins out the back, he's the big threat. Tony Smith was waxing lyrical about him earlier in the week. Obviously, he gave him his England debut, didn't he, in 2009, so he knows all about him. And he just seems to be getting better. Seen a few clips of the pre-season friendly, and he's just slicing through like he was when he came through at Wigan.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And, you know, Chris, we always speak about that span, don't we, with all Kingston Rovers? We still don't know. We're going to talk about the halfback situation and the injuries that I've had the past few weeks. But Catalan have got one of the best spans in the league for me. I think with Tompkins, Drinkwater and Maloney, they're vital and they're massive. If they're tearing up, Catalans are a totally different side, Chris, aren't they?
Yeah, and like you mentioned in the last segment, I've gone for Sam Tompkins in my fantasy team because I think he's someone who he always turns up, doesn't he? He's always able to produce that bit of magic. I think Maloney had a bit of a disappointing season last time out, so I'm expecting a bit more from this time. And obviously, Josh Drinkwater, Rovers fans are a bit divided on him, aren't they? Whether he really we got the most out of him when he had his time at the club. But, you know, when he goes to Catalan, he seems to be able to turn on his best rugby league. So, you know, them three players there give him a fantastic platform to play on. You know, Steve McNamara, there's been a lot made about the transition that the squad's going through in terms of relying on more homegrown players, trying to break away from signing, you know, big overseas players. That said, they've gone and got Dean Ware, haven't they? And you know, like him lining up in the centres is gonna create Rovers lots of problems, I think. And yeah, there's players missing, but I think it's still a very, very strong Catalan team. And I think a lot of people have maybe written Catalan off. And like you said, you go through the team there, and even with the players who are missing, there's still got a number of players who can cause us a lot of problems. I think, James, you wrote in the paper about one battle you're looking forward to seeing, which is Vette against Cassiano. And it'd be interesting to see what point them two come on during the game, won't it?
Yeah, I can't wait for that one. I think 20, 25 minutes, hopefully they come off together at the same time. And they just get stuck into each other from the first hit up. That, just as a rugby league fan, you live for battles like that, don't you?
Yeah, and he's not the
massive man, because even that friendly, Betty, he didn't have his best game, did he? And you could tell he was struggling fitness wise, but you could hear the collisions from way up at the back of the west stand when he was running the ball back in. I can't wait for that. Him and Cassiano going at it, because obviously they played at Melbourne together. They've got healthy respect, but I think they want to win that battle on Saturday.
I think it's going to be a feature of these early rounds, definitely, isn't it? Where you're going to have a number of forwards who probably aren't fully fit. And Cassiano might even fit into that bracket there, because I think Vete spoke about he's had to lose a bit of weight and get a bit sharper, and he's still probably on that journey in terms of getting to full match fitness. But no doubt it's going to be an explosive battle. And Vete spoke about, didn't he? He's not the only player that he's familiar with in the Catalan Dragons.
Sam Tomkins, yeah, he played with him at the Warriors. Obviously, it was a tough spell in the NRL for Tomkins, because he had a lot of injury problems and what have you. But you look at his record, he still scored a fair few tries. So he obviously had an influence on that team and saw his class. It is a shame that he didn't work out down there, but he's come back and he's just, like I say, is that same player that came through. He doesn't seem to have lost any of his pace or agility, has he?
Nah, he's a brilliant player, mate. And I think one name that we haven't mentioned, missing from this Catalan squad because they haven't even got a squad number, is the infamous Israel Folau. I mean, on his day, one of the best players in the world, in my opinion. You know, I know he's gone to rugby union, he's had his old allegations on social media, and he's a bit of a dodgy character, and he speaks his mind. But for Rovers and for everyone this season, not having Israel Folau in a Catalan's Dragon shirt is a massive positive, because we've seen what he can do in the air. I think he works really well with Drinkwater and Maloney. What's your situation first, James, and then Chris, you know, lads? I think for me, Israel Folau is a bit like Jackson Hastings. It didn't work out in Australia, so he's come over. He's had a lot of smoke blown up his arse. They've both done really well, but as soon as they get a little bit of a sniff from the NRL, you know, they want to go back. And I think the problem is with Israel Folau, a lot of clubs' ethos in the NRL, they don't want a player like that back, because they're very passionate about players who make mistakes. You don't really get second chances in the NRL. They hound you, the media over there. We've seen, even when in Great Britain went over in 2006, the likes of Field and Leon Price, when he said he'd rather be in Blackpool than Bondi, they didn't leave him alone for a month on that statement. Never mind when you make allegations like Israel Folau. But first, James, what's your thoughts on Folau not getting a squad number and ultimately probably missing the Super League campaign?
I was speaking to someone about this earlier, and I think Folau, the likes of Folau, Hastings, I think they're more trouble than they're worth, to be honest with you. And I was saying this earlier, I think Hastings and French coming back, I think Hastings came back 2 weeks before the start of the season, French a week before Folau's not here. I just don't think it's a good look for the competition to let these players dictate. Obviously, the star players are on big money, but like I say, I just don't think they've got the reasons. Obviously, it is a difficult period at the moment with the pandemic and what have you, but I just don't think it's a good look. And you need your best players coming back, and you need the club to need to be in control of that situation for me.
What's your thought, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, I do think that Catalan was always a bit of a stopgap. Obviously, Folau had his troubles over in Australia, didn't he? And I think I think his plan was always to come to Catalan for one season, let the dust settle, and then go back to the NRL. They've maybe had conversations during the previous season about clubs who might be interested in him. I think the problem now is them shutters have come down, and he's almost in limbo, and he's probably been touted around to rugby union clubs left, right and centre. Obviously, he's still got a contract at the Catalan Dragons, so it's like James said, it's making a bit of a mockery of the competition that a player can dictate, can almost go around touting himself about and yet still come back and potentially be able to play, a bit like Jackson Hastings. Obviously, we've seen it now with Bevan French. It does make a bit of a mockery, but I don't think Folau had that big of an impact last season. I don't think he was really that motivated to be playing for Catalan. And if I'm honest, if he was lining up for against Rovers on Saturday, other than his name, I don't think I'd have been that worried, because just based on the previous season and his motivation for playing Super League would be.
Yeah, it's one of the... And it's always that talking point when people come over with big reps from the NRL. It's if they can do it, like in the NRL, if they've got that passion, like James Maloney or at Catalans, these big names, if it don't work out and it's tough, I think a lot of people come over and think it's going to be an easy ride in Super League, but there's definitely some quality there. You know, it don't get enough raps for the quality on the pitch. But I think going away from Catalan and Rovers for a minute, we mentioned Jackson Hastings and Bevan French there. I know it's a little bit different for you being a reporter, James, but Chris, if that had been two of our star players who haven't even turned up for pre-season and come a week before and there's all these quarantine rules and the amount of photos Jackson Hastings has put on saying how much he's loved being home, that he doesn't even want to leave. For Wigan fans, you've got their two best players probably, Bevan French, who was absolutely electric on his day. Not even in the country, I don't think. And Jackson Hastings has just come over. It doesn't send off the best signs, does it, for a runners-up last year and, you know, for Adrian Lamb, who wants to be challenging for the title. If that was Rovers, we'd be annoyed, wouldn't we, Chris?
Yeah, and it probably shows you, you know, how what situation Super League is in that this can happen. And also, don't forget, this is Wigan Warriors, you know. It's not Hull Kingston Rovers as much as we love them. I mean, this is Wigan Warriors, which is one of the biggest rugby league, biggest rugby clubs in the world, you know, renowned. And yet you've got two players who were treating them with contempt. So it's not a great look whatsoever. And if it was Rovers, and there was, I think it'd take them players, if they did come back and start playing, it'd take them a while to win over the fans. Maybe they're playing on the fact that no fans are going to be in the ground for the opening weeks anyway, so that if they do come back and play, the performances might actually get the fans back on their side. But, you know, I think it's just sad. I think it's sad that they treat the clubs with contempt, especially when they're under contract. And I think that's the biggest issue. They are under contract. So they shouldn't be behaving like this.
No, they shouldn't. And they'll be on big money there at Wigan, mate. So, yeah, it does make a mockery out of Super League. So, you know, we know how you feel at Wigan. You know, it's not the best. But we will move on to Hull Kingston Rovers. Tony Smith has named his first 21-man squad of the season. The round one fixture, we're going to line up with Adam Quinlan, Ben Crooks, Greg Minikin, Sean Kenny Dowell, the captain, of course, Ryan Hall, Jordan Abdul, Albert Vette, Matt Parcell, Corbin Sims, Brad Takarangi, who might or might not be playing. We'll discuss that with James soon. Kane Lynette, Dean Hadley, Jez Litton, George Lawler, George King, Elliot Minchella, vice-captain, of course, for this season, Matty Staughton, Mikey Lewis, Ethan Ryan, Rowan Milnes and Louis Johnson. It's not really a surprise, is it? You know, James, you'll see him. Obviously, you haven't seen him train as much as you did last season, but no massive surprises from Tony Smith. Obviously, with Rowan Milnes getting put in, he only played about 5-10 minutes. Mike is in there, but a big talking point, and it always happens, the Hull Kingston Rovers curse. Brad Takarangi picks up a knock the week before the first round. He's probably our biggest signing. He's probably our key player for 2021. In all honesty, James, you know, I know we spoke about it before the game, but right this minute, a day, you know, we're putting it out the day before. Do we think we're going to see Brad Takarangi make his debut in round one?
I'm pretty torn on it. I think there might be some Tony Smith mind games at play.
I love his mind games.
whether we quite possibly got injured, but if it was serious or not, I don't know. But he may definitely know that he's going to play, or he may definitely know that he's not going to play, and he's put him in the squad anyway just to keep Catalan's guest in. I don't know. He's hard to read when it comes to team news. Or, alternatively, he might have just taken me off where he was playing in the half-court back row. So he's just made out that he's injured, so it's took me off the scent. So I didn't ask the other day.
Is he playing or not? What do we think?
Normally we get this kind of drama before a derby, don't we? Is he, isn't he playing? And
someone being deregistered or something.
Yeah, you normally get this drama. I think we talked, didn't we? If he's not fit, there's no point playing an 80% fit Takarangi, bearing in mind that we've got so many games in the season to play. And as well, it leads into another debate where he should be playing in a halfback. Because you could argue that one of our strongest positions is at second row. So if he's not going to be playing at halfback and he's potentially only 80% fit, then we don't need to risk him in the second row when there's, you know, ready-made replacements. So it's not just whether Takarangi is fit. It's actually as well, what position would he then play if he is fit? And there's still a lot of question marks, which is why I think James is right. It's almost a bit like smoke and mirrors, isn't it, by Tony Smith? Because he's leaving a lot of questions out there. Because if he does play, it makes it harder for Steve McManara to then predict where he might play.
Yeah, and it's until, you know, 4:15, an hour before kickoff, we're not going to know, are we? And, you know, it'll be touch and go. But we've got to look at the bigger picture, like you just said, Chris, haven't we? We've got St Helens next Thursday, Huddersfield Challenge Cup game after that, sorry, which is yet to be announced. Obviously, the fixtures are this week in round two. Then Huddersfield, Leeds, Rhinos, Warrington. So an abundance of games in so little time. It's probably worth not risking Takarangi this week, so he'll be fit for all them games. Because knowing our luck, we'll put him in round one, he'll pick up a serious knock and he won't be back until round 10 or 11. In your opinion, though, Chris, if Brad Takarangi gets the nod, where does he fit? And if he goes half-back, does that mean either Jordan Abdul or Mikey Lewis don't even get in the starting 17?
Yeah, we put our predicted teams out during the week, didn't we, on yeah. social media. And I went for Takarangi in the halves with Abdul. And there's two thoughts here, isn't there? There's the team that you want to play, which lends itself to Abdul and Lewis being in the halfbacks. And then there's the team that you think Tony Smith might want to play. And that's what leads me to think that Takarangi will be playing in the halfback. But James, do you think that if Takarangi does play, then Mikey Lewis will drop out the squad altogether?
I would have thought so, yeah. I think if Takarangi plays, he'll play in the halves, rightly or wrongly. I'm not sure about that, but it could be a blessing in disguise. Mike Lewis comes in as a stormer and he keeps that place. And he goes in the second row, and long term, that might be the best option for the team. It wouldn't surprise me if Tony Smith threw a curveball, throw Milnes in. He'll definitely throw a curveball or two on Saturday.
Well, I'll tell you what, that'd be the. If he throws Milnes in, that'd be the biggest curveball.
Yeah. But he's. Every time he names the team, it surprises me. So there's always something.
Yeah, it's such a big talking point, isn't it? I think we are so, you know, a lot stronger in the second row this season with Matty Staughton, who can fit in there, Louis Johnson. But a name who's in the 21-man squad, James, and a youngster who you rate highly, along with Mus Mustafi, you did an article, didn't you, was Ethan Ryan. Obviously, made, you know, a lot of people think about him when he was at Bradford. He scored numerous tries in the Championship. We know he can finish. He'll be pushing for a World Cup spot with Ireland come the end of this year. For you, it's a tough one, isn't it? Because we know Ben Crooks can finish. We know Ben Crooks has got that experience, but he's making a lot of mistakes. He did against Castleford. He did the back end of 2020. Ethan Ryan's definitely pushing Greg Minikin and Ben Crooks because, in my opinion, I don't think Kenny Dowell and Ryan Hall are ever going to get dropped for me, because I think they're personally our strongest outside backs. You really rate Ethan Ryan, and so do I. Firstly, James, before I go to Chris, such a big year for people like Ethan Ryan and Mus Mustafa, isn't it? Where do you see Ethan getting game time for Kingston Rovers this year?
It's a tough one, isn't it? Because I don't think Tony Smith will drop Ben Crooks, not for a little while anyway. I think he might have to get his opportunity through an injury, Ethan Ryan, but once he comes in, I think he'll keep a spot. On Crooks, he just hasn't looked the same since he came back from that calf injury. I think it might have been September. I don't know if he was rushed back at the time. I can't quite remember, but there was a lot of games in a short space of time, and he came back. I think it might have been against Huddersfield. And he played fullback, didn't he, against Catalan? He looked absolutely shot. He was nasty. Yeah. And he's not been quite the same since then, just making uncharacteristic errors. Because at the start of last year and previous 2019, he was really solid. You knew what you were going to get from him. He was going to carry the ball strong. He was going to make good meters. He's a good finisher. And he was just a solid performer, but now he's making a lot of uncharacteristic errors, like I say.
And the opposite, something different, I think, Ethan Ryan, Chris. I think he's a little bit of a different player from Ben Crooks. He's a bit no-nonsense, isn't he, Crooksy? But Ethan Ryan, you know, he's fast on his feet. He's really good in the air, and he can finish. And I think that finish last season against Saints, when we got beaten Golden Point, he definitely proved the point, and he's done it in the Championship. It's time for him to step up in it, and hopefully we can see a bit more of Ethan Ryan, because he came with big raps, didn't he, when he signed with the other four lads from Bradford.
Yeah, I think Crooks and Hall, you know, they're nailed on, aren't they, to be, especially for the Catalan game, to be starting, and it's hard to argue for him not to be starting. I think I agree with James that Ethan's chance is going to come probably due to an injury. Yeah, you know, we're not wishing an injury on anyone whatsoever, but chances are his chance is going to come
but with Crooks or Hall getting injured. I think Crooks and Hall are fantastic finishers. Ethan Ryan, for me, he had something a little bit different because he's able almost to create tries for himself. And he's obviously got that fantastic turn of speed, what we've all seen. So, you know, I think it puts a bit of pressure on Crooks and Hall because they know they've got an exciting winger who's chomping at the bits to get out there playing and someone who has proven that he can score tries. So I think it's healthy competition. I don't see it changing, maybe until at least a Challenge Cup game where Ethan Ryan, you know, probably will get a run out there. But it's exciting to think that we've got a winger waiting in the, you know, pardon the pun, in the wings, who can come in and probably do a job from the get-go.
Yeah, we've got a bit more squad depth this year, haven't we? And I think that's the main thing because you look at the beginning of like 2019, James, where, you know, when you took over being the reporter for the Old Daily Mail for Rovers, obviously, sometimes on the bench, I think I remember an Huddersfield game. I don't think you might have been there or you might not. I think the bench was Owen Harrison, Adam Rooks, and two, Harry Bardell, who, you know, I know they're all not on the club now apart from Owen, but sometimes with all things, the Rovers were picked up. You what, sorry, mate?
Elliot Wallace as well, I think.
Yeah, it was Elliot Wallace. Yeah, good remembrance skills there, mate. and that's the thing, isn't it? Our bench is going to be a lot stronger this year. You know, you're going to probably have Jez or Matt Parcell. You're going to have Albert Vettey. You're probably going to have George King. A lot stronger bench this year, which is massive because that's always been our problem. We can field a decent team. We've got a good starting 13. But you get a few injuries and you start looking at your fringe players who aren't ready to step up yet. But that gives us a bit more confidence. We have got a bit more squad depth, James, this year.
Yeah, definitely. And that's an interesting selection decision as well. Jez Litton or Matt Parcell from the start. Obviously, Jez got injured in the middle of September last year. And then Rovers went on that rotten run of just being out of games by half time. And then he didn't start the friendly and they're out of that game. So it's just, it gives you such an impact. You want that from the start? I don't know. You get that same kind of impact, but I'm not blaming Matt Parcell. If your team's dropping the ball all the time, you're not going to get many chances out of back to half, are you? But in terms of the depth, it does feel like there's more this year. I'm still a bit concerned about the likes of Will Maher. I just don't know if he can do it consistently.
Yeah,
you mentioned Muiz Mustafa, who I do rate, and I know a lot of people who do rate him as well. It's just unfortunate he's injured now because he's on the back foot from the start of the year. But yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing him because he's got that aggression and no-nonsense attitude. He'll just run the ball as hard as he can.
He's got the Rovers curse already, hasn't he? He's only been on loan for a year and he's injured. You know, it's I think if any young kid gets a loan offer from OKR, you know, he doesn't his career will probably be over after round one. But on a serious note, let's look at a bit more in depth of the tactics. In my opinion, Chris, you first. I think for Catalan, we know how big they are. We mentioned Sam Cassiano. I know that battle he's going to have with Albert Vettey. We have got to dominate the pack. And we mentioned it against Castleford. We didn't do it. We lost the ruck so many times. Jake Truman in the first half absolutely killed us down the middle. James, you was obviously there. I'll come to you in a minute. But Chris, we have got to set a platform for our halfbacks. We've got to dominate the ruck because if not, Tompkins, Drinkwater and Maloney will have an absolute field day and we cannot afford to do the same old 10 minutes in, 18-0 down and then we start throwing the ball around like the Harlem Globetrotters, score a few good tries but the game's already dead and buried. It's got to be different. It's so repetitive. We speak about it all the time, but Catalans is a massive test, one of the biggest packs in the league. That's what we've got to do in my opinion.
Yeah, and we spoke about after the Castleford game, didn't we, about how important it is to get good ruck speed. And you know, we saw in that, especially that first half against Castleford, as hanging off tackles, slow to retreat. And Castleford took full advantage of that. We saw Jake Truman make breaks. And quite simply, we can't afford to do that in Super League this season. I think as a whole, with the new rule changes, the game's going to be a lot faster. And Rovers need to turn up from minute one. We can't afford to be, you know, 20 minutes into the game, 12, 18 points down, chasing it. And that's why I wanted to speak to James, actually, because in his predicted lineup, he started with Lawler and Sims at prop, and then he's put King and Vettey on the bench. Obviously, Johnson misses out in James's predicted lineup. What do you think that Tony Smith's thinking is behind the starting props there with potentially Lawler and Sims starting the game, James?
I just think, thinking back to the Cast game and last year, Lola just gives you a lot of energy from the start. And it, yeah, he's just a strong carrier of the ball. He gets stuck in defensively. And I think he lays a platform. He did it last year against St. Helens. I think, was it him and Hiraki? They went toe-to-toe with Wormsley and Graham and saved Hiraki scoreless for about, I can't quite remember, but 30-odd minutes. So they did their job. And he's good. I think he's good in that role. He's grown into it. And Sims gives you aggression. I think he was a bit loose in that friendly. A bit too aggressive in his first goal. Kind of going around and whacking everyone. I think he hit someone late after a pass or something like that. Yeah, so they give you that good aggression from the start. And then off the bench, you've obviously got Vetti and King, who I thought was one of PR's best players against Cass. And he's someone who's gone under the radar. Obviously, he came towards the back end of last year, but he's like a new signing himself. And I think he brings a lot off the bench.
Do you think... Coming off the bench, do you think it's a fight between Johnson and King to get that? Because I think Vette is nailed on, isn't he, to get that spot on the bench. So do you think it's King and Johnson battling it out to then get that sort of second prop spot coming off the bench?
I think, personally, I think King's locked in on the bench. Obviously, Tony worked with him at Warrington. And he's a massive fan of King. And you could see why in that last friendly. So I think he's guaranteed a... Put in the 17, I think probably between Matty Staunton and Johnson for that last spot. If he goes for a similar lineup to the friendly, and I think you've got to go Staunton because both those players can play back row and prop. Staunton's obviously only just started to get into playing in the middle, but I thought he looked decent in that friendly. He looked strong, robust. And I think he's that kind of player who can make that transition and give you that versatility on the bench where he can play in the back row, or his main job off the bench would be playing in the middle. I think he can do that well as well.
And going back to that Castleford friendly, I know we saw some fantastic trials by Rovers, but I said to Joe, my favourite trial was actually George Lawler's in the way, because I think, was it to you, James, Tony Smith said that George Lawler's a bit of a sort of he's still learning the game in terms of being a prop. And I think a try like that is what you want your props to do, isn't it? You know, close to the line, being able to barge over. So I was really pleased that he scored that try. And I think Lawler is the prop you're probably going to get the most minutes out of as well. You know, he's quite an athletic guy, isn't he? It'd be interesting to see how he manages the minutes between Sims and Vette, and then who he uses as the replacements. But I think Lawler is probably the prop we might see the most minutes of on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. I did ask George after that. I think I spoke to him after the Cast game, and I asked him if that takes him off the rugby run, and he was saying, well, you better do, because I'm not going to score any more this season. But yeah, it was great to see him get over, and you do want to see that from your props, don't you? That determination for the ball now, and that's what we got from George there. And he's just a very good player, and you know what you're going to get from him every time he goes out there.
Yeah, he's no nonsense, mate, and I think it adds strength to his bow. You know, he started off when he was at West Hull, loose forward, second row. Before we wrap up, and you know, we speak, I'm going to ask you your predictions as well for the other games, James, because me and Chris are doing a tipping league game. We spoke about it before we got you on. Basically, 2 points for a win, and whoever loses at the end of the season has to do a forfeit. It's yet to be decided what that forfeit is. But just before we wrap up, James first before Chris, I think the key man for all Kingston Rovers this week is going to be Elliot Minchella, the vice captain. His energy, his ball handling skills, that his engine in the middle of the park, he's going to be massive, dominating around the middle. We mentioned, you know, Julian Busquet, Sam Cassiano. For me, I think if Elliot Minchella is on form and he has a game like he did against Wigan, him and Jez worked really well. He's pushing for Abdul, whoever plays in the half. Lewis Takarangi is a strong runner. It gives you that option of, are you going to pass or are you going to take it in? And he's, you know, he's rock solid in defence as well. He is key for all Kingston Rovers, and he's my key man for this week's game. James, I know I've put you on the spot, but for you, who's your key man this week?
I'm going to go boring and say Ryan Hall. I just think he's back at Edinburgh, obviously, for the first time since he left. Obviously, no fans there, but he'll want to prove a point, but he's come back to Super League. A lot of people think he failed in the NRL, rightly or wrongly, because he had a lot of injury problems that hampered him. But I think just early in sets, if he can get Rovers on the front foot, then it's going to be a different game. We saw signs of that in that friendly. I think early on he won a penalty laying on, and then he won a six again as well. So that's just going to be massive. And Sean Kenny Dowell as well, he was getting involved in the early in sets as well, and I think he's going to have a big season.
I'm going for maybe what a predictable one in Jordan Abdul. I think nobody's questioning whether he should be playing halfback or not, so I'm expecting big things from him. And we saw glimpses of it against Castleford, some of the stuff he can do. And obviously, we know on his day he can beat a team on his own. But we also know that he can be quiet and anonymous in games. I think we really need him to help us when Catalan get on top of us, which they will do during the game. There'll be spells where Catalan are dominating. And I want to see Abdul using his kicking game to get us some good field position. But not only that, I want to see him using his kicking game in an attacking position. Because I think he's got the key to unlock Catalan's defence, especially close to the line, but also help us out when we're maybe getting back-to-back sets and we're defending. I think we really need Abdul to get us out the mire sometimes. So I think if Abdul has a good game, I think Hull Kingston Rovers win.
Well, he did last time at Edenley, didn't he? When he ran the show against Wigan. So he's got good memory.
Well, I'd love a repeat of that. Yes, please.
Let's hope so. Three different players, which is good. And for you guys listening, once you've listened to the podcast, let us know who you think the key man for the tomorrow's game is. James, obviously, when we release this, it's going to be Friday morning. So me and Chris have done our predictions. That was in part one. But before we go, St Helens against Salford opens the campaign. Who are you going for?
Well, that's a pretty easy one to start with, I think. Well,
Salford, then.
I hope I'm not jinxing myself. I'll go Saints in that.
Saints, Liam Wigan.
Well, there's some tough ones this weekend. I think Wigan's preparations have been, as we've touched on, with French and Hastings, and then you've got all the injuries in the outside backs. I'm going to waffle on for a bit here. And Lee, they've obviously got a few injury problems themselves. Long story short, I'll go Wigan, because I don't think they've got many missing in the forwards, and I think that's where they'll beat Lee up a bit in the middle.
Perfect. So Saints, Wigan, we move on to Saturday, Yorkshire Derby to open the weekend. Saturday's game, Wakey against Leeds. Who are you going for?
Well, again, Leeds, like Wigan, have got a lot of injuries in the backs. I'm thinking Wakefield, but I'm going to go Leeds.
You're going to go, right, well, I went for Wakefield in part one.
Yeah,
so, obviously, the next game, probably the biggest of all, in our opinion, isn't it? Catalan Rovers, I think you're going to get sacked if you say Catalan, so I'll save you the time.
I do think OKR could win, but I just think back to that friendly, and there's just ominous signs for me, with just the way they defended. But I'm going to go OKR.
We've had that all our life, James, so welcome to the club. Move on to Sunday. Our dearest and oldest neighbours, Hull FC, take on Ian Watson's Huddersfield Giants. What do you think? A new era for both teams.
Huddersfield swing.
Yeah, definitely.
Good lad. Fanning, wrapping up round one, Cass v Warrington.
That's a tough one, that.
Really tough.
There's a few tough ones. I thought Cass looked decent the other week. Niall Evans is going to be a massive player for them this season. I'm just not convinced about Warrington. I think out of the two, I think Castle will do better. You know, now they know the coach is leaving, I think they'll respond better than Warrington. I'm going to go with Cass.
Going with Cass, perfect. So that's your predictions. Obviously, Greg Inglis not fit for round one. When will we see GI in Super League? But thanks for coming on, James. We really appreciate you. You know, obviously, now the season started. We all read your reports, your articles. So get involved if you haven't. We're going to get you on regularly on the show. It's nice to have a different voice, Chris, in it. So we do really appreciate you coming on. Good luck for this season, mate. Obviously, I hope you get to report on a few more victories. And I know we'll be getting you on the show. But are you looking forward just to getting back into the ground on Saturday and starting the season again?
Yeah, I can't wait. I think we said last time, it's not the same without fans. But it is good to be there. And it's good to get a feel of what's going on going on the pitch, which I'm sure fans miss. And hopefully, in about, is it now 6-7 weeks' time, there'll be fans back in, because a few clubs have moved the fixtures, aren't they, for that weekend. Yeah. Warrington and Huddersfield on Thursday said they're going to move the fixtures to Monday, and Lee and Wigan have done likewise. So maybe Cass, I think it's Castle Care that weekend, that could get moved to Monday, which would be good.
I'm really jealous, Chris, out here, that he's going.
Well, yeah, I mean, with all of, but although I'd love to be there, but is it the same without the fans? That's the question mark I've got. As much as I'd love to be there, I want to be there when it's you know, the atmosphere is there, the East End singing. I want to. It's all part of the experience, isn't it? So I'm a two minds really, whether I would want to be there.
I'm the same with football, because to talk about crowds of 4,000 coming back, I'd rather just wait until it's almost a full house.
You a Leeds United fan?
No comment.
Turn him off, Chris. You've got to turn him off.
That's the end.
No, but thank you for coming on, mate. We really appreciate it, and we hope to hear from you soon. So, guys, that is it. And hopefully the next time you hear me and Chris on the podcast, we'll be celebrating a Hull Kingston Rovers victory against the Catalan Dragons. We kick off our campaign in 24 hours on Saturday in Leeds. Remember, on Instagram Live, straight after the game, me and Chris will be giving our post-match review, and it gives you guys a chance to get involved with the conversation. So again, share everything we do. Follow us on all our social media. The numbers have been great, and we love bringing you these podcasts. The season's nearly starting, guys. It's been absolutely brilliant so far to give you these podcasts, and we can't wait to bring you the 2021 season for Hull Kingston Rovers. So with me, Joe Appleyard, Chris Johnson and James O'Brien, we will see you guys next week. Up the Robins. Thanks, Chris. Thanks, James.